podcast edit by Abes Audio.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Mumbrella's one-on-one podcast series. I'm your host and the editor of Mumbrella, Neil Griffiths. Before we get into it, as always, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to this episode from. And be sure to check out mumbrella.com.au for previous episodes of the one-on-one series. Last week, I was joined by the ARIA CEO, Annabelle Hurd, and previous episodes include the former Nike CMO, Greg Hoffman, as well as the Fender CMO, Evan Jones. This week, however, I am so excited to be joined by the CEO of TEG, Mr. Jeff Jones. Now, for context, this episode with Jeff was recorded prior to the tragic death of the TEG founder, Gary Van Ogman. Our thoughts go out to the Van Ogman family. So on this episode with Jeff, we talk about his illustrious career in the live entertainment industry. Of course, TEG are one of the biggest companies when it comes to touring, special events, live events, ticketing and promotion. And it's no secret that right now the Australian music industry is going through a bit of a crisis when it comes to festivals and shows that are falling down left, right, and center due to the cost of living pressures. So it was really great to chat to Jeff about some of the great stuff that they're producing right now. You know, some of the recent tours and events they've held that have been huge successes include the UK producer Fred Again, who sold out 100,000 tickets across the country in a short amount of time. Matchbox 20 are another US band that toured the country recently to huge success. Other events including Knotfest, Snoop Dogg. We talk about all of those events as well as upcoming ones like Jerry Seinfeld, as well as sport. TEG is very much known for its music events, but they have ventured into sport in the last few years. They've brought out teams like Manchester United from the EPL. They've ventured into boxing, which we talk a lot about. And we talk about what's to come for TEG. When we talk about brands, there are few bigger in the country than TEG when it comes to events and promotion. So it was fascinating to hear Jeff's thoughts and predictions about what's to come for the live industry and why it's so important to the media and marketing industry. So let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, here is my chat with Jeff Jones on the one-on-one podcast series. Jeff Jones, welcome to the one-on-one podcast, sir.
Thank you, Neil. Delighted to be talking to you.
It's very good to be speaking with you. The last time I caught up with you actually was at the Matchbox 20 concert that TEG were kind enough to bring me along to. Number one, congratulations. Number two, that was a hell of a show.
Yeah, look, it was great. Like, you know, the I'll freely admit I had a little bit of trepidation. It was, you know, Goo Goo Dolls into Matchbox 20, two bands that are, you know, really well known and have got great hits, but I wasn't sure about it. But my goodness, they really performed, and you know, it was a complete sellout tour across 13 shows in multiple cities, Australia, New Zealand. Did 26,000 tickets in Sydney alone, which is just a testament to actually our big bands and the fact that, you know, in these really tough times, people will still find the time and the money to buy a ticket for an artist or a live entertainment genre that they like.
Mm. Yeah, I'll get into some of the tours that TEG have been working on in just a little bit, but we always start these podcasts off with a little "This is your life" moment. So maybe for the people listening, Jeff, maybe just run them through a bit about your background and your career leading up to the CEO position at TEG.
Okay. Well, it's pretty boring, but I guess I've lived in a lot of, my father was in the army, so I've lived in multiple different countries and different places. And with all, you know, I've lived in, you know, all over Australia and, you know, dominantly on the East Coast. But I've, and I went to 8 different schools and sort of had a different, you know, focus on life, I suppose. And due to a lack of imagination, I went straight from school and became an army officer. I went to a place called Duntroon and was in the army as my first career of now what is 6 careers, I suppose. Mm. I did that for quite a while, got out of the army, and then went into a company called IMG. So Sublime to the Ridiculous, from the, you know, the sort of the ordered life of the army into the go fast area of, you know, live entertainment, sport, talent management, that is the global company, which is IMG. stayed at IMG for 5-odd years, went to, got tapped by the boss of what was Foster's or Carlton United Brewery, went to that, ran their Queensland business for a year, then became the global sales director, based out of Sydney, spent a lot of time because that was the market where, you know, we were the number one player there, but we were dominant in the Victorian market and we needed to grow there. So loved my time in the beverage industry. And again, I got a call one day, would I consider being the CEO of Ticketek from James Packer's office. So I had a chat to that organisation, and I thought I didn't want to die wondering, and I did the CEO of Ticketek job for just under 3 years. Loved that, love it to this day. I left after 3 years and joined a company called SEL, which was a bit like an IMG, a sports and entertainment talent management business. I joined there as a partner, you know, great guys. Only stayed there for a year because I got invited to come back by my good friend David Gingell, who was running what was then called PBL Media, and said, "Yeah, we want you to come back." And I said I'd only come back if I could do what he and I had talked about previously, which was to create this integrated live entertainment company, which is TG. So I've come back. I came back, got 12 and a bit years ago, and been doing my best with a great team of people to grow the TG brand, not just in Australia and New Zealand, but in different markets across the world. So that's a bit of a thumb sketch of me.
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken to some of the TEG team before about this, that, you know, I've worked in entertainment and music media for the last 10 years. I'm very across what TEG does. Speaking from a brand perspective, it's arguably the biggest live brand because, you know, the casual fan or the casual punter knows that you guys have done massive tours like Jerry Seinfeld and Eminem and Guns N' Roses. But you guys do so much more. Just quickly on that brand perspective, again, you headed up Ticketek, which is probably Australia's best known ticketing company. What does it mean to you to head up this company that is so well known, not just in music, but in sport and really all live events?
Yeah, no, I appreciate those sentiments, Neil. They mean a lot to me. What we set out to do was, you know, we were at our core, a ticketing company, you know, created in the mid-70s to sell tickets to World Series cricket. And that has evolved into Ticketek, which is, you know, from little old Australia, which is, you know, a very big live entertainment market, albeit we've got a population of, 26.5 million, but we bat well above our weight globally as an entertainment company, entertainment destination. And so the design was, the feeling was, well, you know, when I joined Ticketek, big ticketing companies were dead. It was all going to be done by software as a solution providers. I've got a laptop, I've got a program, I become a ticketing company. And there's plenty of them exist, but they haven't got traction. What happened was the advent of the digital age and now morphing into the data age, where if you've got scale and massive data like Ticketek does, you have a very strong position. So the value of big ticketing companies, I've got to mention our fierce competitor, but a company I admire because they're the global leader in Ticketmaster, who, you know, we are significantly bigger than them in this market, but globally they are the leader, so, and I respect that greatly. So they've never been stronger, we've never been stronger, and that's the way that's flown. So it became a natural thing for us to get into the broader what live entertainment space. So in that was, you know, do we own venues? Do we become a promoter? Do we do other things? And we've done all that, and we've really grown from first principles our digital and data analytics business, which we call Ovation, which, you know, I proudly say, and I think a lot of people would say it, you know, outside of our company, we're probably world leading for a ticketing company in how we think about data and digital. So, but that's in the same way we started promoting. So we didn't buy anyone to start with in 2011. We created what was then called Nine Live, which is now TEG Live, which is our biggest promoter. And, our second ever tour was One Direction. We toured One Direction three times, sold something like 500,000 tickets over a promo tour, then a 30 arena tour across the country and New Zealand, then I think it was 10 stadiums for the third tour. So we were away as a music concert promoter, but we've then gradually, said, okay, we don't want to be posited in just into the concert world as great as that is and what we how we love it, but we've now evolved in that we play in every genre of the live entertainment space. So yes, we're a big concert promoter. We're never going to be bigger than global behemoths like Live Nation and AEG because they've got a very big presence and they buy these global artists and global tours. But we bat pretty well in that space. And we tour artists, as you mentioned, from the likes of Queen, and we've done AC/DC and all these sort of bands. And we'll continue to do them. But we're very happy to do, artists down to 500 packs, multi cities across this country, because that's important part of us growing relationships at the grassroots with emerging artists. But so we're in concerts, we do exhibitions, we do family content. We've just picked up the rights globally to do a brand called Gabby's Dollhouse. I'm out of that genre, but people will Dollhouse. It's the second biggest preschool family brand in the world. So we're going to open that in Australia. We've already in discussion to exploit it across the United States. We'll take that everywhere. We in 2015, we got into sport. We started doing football, soccer. This year, calendar 2024, we will promote about 20 games of football, European football globally,
Wow.
including eight in the United States, four in the UK. So taking football in their market. But not only that, we will do rugby games in San Diego, in Spain. At the home of rugby in Twickenham in London, we will do basketball games pre-Olympics, both in Australia, where our Boomers and Opals will be promoting them as they host pre-Olympic games in Melbourne. But we've also gone on sale already with the US, hopefully the dream team number two.
Wow.
They now team, but we're promoting two games against Germany and South Sudan with the US team at the O2 Arena in London. We're doing boxing. We're representing the ICC, the International Cricket Council in the United States, to help them implement the World T20 cricket tournament in the United States in New York, Dallas, and in Florida. So sports become a really important big part of what we do, and I think we've got a great start point. We partnered with Michael Castle Group a few years ago, and with what Michael does and what we do through Dainty Theatrical, another part of our business. We're far and away the biggest musical theatre promoter in and producer in the Asia Pacific region, and proudly, Michael Castle Group have got a smash hit play, Dorian Gray, which is a product from the Sydney Theatre Company, currently in the West End in London. So we're really, really growing. I think in any one year in Australia and New Zealand alone, we probably sell tickets to about 5 million tickets to our own shows. So
Wow. I mean,
really.
it's pretty incredible, and you rattled off some massive wins there. Just going back to that, because obviously we do have a lot of brand markers listening to this podcast. When you talked earlier about, building this brand and facing adversity when you thought, the software's going to come in and take over. Fast forward to 2020 when the entire live industry was at a standstill because of the COVID pandemic. When you're building these brands, and you are faced with that kind of adversity, what would you say to other brand marketers when in the spirit of trying to build your brand and get exposure and get better and expand, how do you face that adversity? What were the conversations like? Let's say going back to when the softwares came in and you said, you know, we're going to be taken over here. How did you continue to build the brand?
Yeah, look, I hope we're known as a company that is agile and nimble and we don't ever take anything for granted. We don't stop. So there is a relentless pace. I guess that at times it gets a bit overwhelming, a bit too relentless, but we live in a really competitive set in what we do. So we can't ever rest on our laurels. And when you're the number one in whether it be ticketing or sport or whatever, you've always got to, charge on, take risks, be brave. But I guess the thing we thought about was what was really important was this integrated model. And we created this virtuous circle where we start with great content. We take that content into buildings that we either own or that we work with that are, and that building can be anything from the Melbourne Cricket Ground, who we partner with, great partners of ours, to, Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne, to, various buildings all over the country, musical, theatre buildings, et cetera. And so we take that content to those buildings. Ticketek sells those tickets. From those tickets, we derive great data analytics, which enables us and our partners to make quality decisions on who to promote next, what's hot, what's working, great insights that we share with the industry as well. And then, and it also enables us, we can talk to brands about brand partnerships across the variety of content that we have. And we've got multiple, our commercial salespeople are not just selling a concert tour. They've got a kit bag which has a concert tour, Tottenham Hotspur playing Newcastle, the Melbourne Cricket Ground on 22 May, or the emerging and hugely emerging women's football or women's sport in general, but women's football, where we have Arsenal women coming out to play the A-League All-Stars as the main game, and the curtain raiser is the men's All-Stars playing Newcastle United from the Premier League, a really emerging, top eight team in the English Premier League. So we've got all sorts of things in our kit bag to work with brands. And our own brand, we've sort of gone, okay, we what we stand for is we talk to each other, left and the right hand, knows as best we can do, because it's like the communication is absolutely, vital to what we try to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty incredible the success you guys have had over the years. And, we mentioned Matchbox 20 at the start of the show was one of the tours you've done recently, 26,000 tickets alone in Sydney. I'm just going to rattle off some notes here from recent tours. I mean, Fred Again, who is just incredible, unprecedented attention here. Over 1 million fans trying to secure 100,000 tickets for the 7 shows in Melbourne, Sydney, and Gold Coast. We have our own Fisher, who he's got an event coming up in May, 30,000 tickets sold out just like that. You've also done Snoop Dogg. You've had Knotfest, 80,000 tickets there. I mean, I mentioned COVID earlier and what that did to the live industry. The response to specifically live music in this instance has been incredible in the last few years. It feels like live music not only has made a comeback, it's almost bigger than it was pre-COVID. From your perspective, did you see that coming?
Yeah, we hoped. People talked about a COVID bounce. We're already seeing, even though we're in really, the COVID bounce was sort of financial year 23, so, mid-22 to mid-23. We're seeing even, bigger numbers from a ticketing perspective. So when you have a company like Ticketek, which, sells across the whole spectrum of the live environment, you get to, build up, pretty consistent data and a view of what's happening. But so we're really fond of saying, in the data age, nothing, you cannot replicate the live experience. Mm. There are, you know, you people want to see their favorite footy team, their favorite artist, their favorite play, whatever it is. You know, spoken word has become an amazingly big genre now, where, you know, whomever it is, there are some massive numbers for spoken word. Comedy continues to be, you know, really strong. You know, a guy like Jerry Seinfeld, you know, TG Dainty will have a sold out tour of Jerry in June of this year, where he's done phenomenal sales across every market. So, you know, the digital age, and you know, we're all the buzz is about AI, and AI is, you know, going to be a dominant theme, but seeing an artist live, there is nothing like it. The interesting thing, I've always drawn on the parallels of, you know, everyone thought, oh, you can stream concerts and that'd be a great experience. Well, yeah, broadly speaking, streaming of concerts or live performances, I think, have been largely unsuccessful. There was a lot of that during COVID. I think probably the K-pop phenomenon, BTS, was probably the one example where they did live streams during COVID, and they were really successful. But now that phenomenal fan base, but there's been a lot of really big artists that have done them and haven't been as successful. So I think live is here to stay. You know, Gen Z's, millennials love to, you know, the experience culture and experiencing things live, and that, you know, much more than many of the, you know, the baby boomers or Gen Xers, and that is great for our industry. So, yeah, I predict the live environment to continue to be really, really strong and really, really pervasive, and yeah, long may that continue.
And I mentioned earlier as well that, you know, I having worked in the media and music and live for over a decade, I'm very familiar with what TEG do, but it's pretty incredible what TEG has done, particularly in sport in the last few years. I mean, again, rattling off some notes here, TEG brought Manchester United out in 2022, 150,000 tickets over 2 nights. 37% of those attendees were interstate or overseas. You guys brought out the NHL last year for the very first time. There's apparently plans for them to come back because it did so well. Boxing is the big one, right? And that was the first foray into that was the George Kambosos fight in 2022 in Melbourne. Given that was the first event that you guys did when it comes to boxing specifically, over 40,000 people go to that event. That's a pretty quick indicator that that's a area you guys need to lean into, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed it is. And look, we started with soccer in, well, football, soccer, in 2015, when we had 100,000 people at the Melbourne Cricket Ground to watch Real Madrid play Manchester City.
Yeah.
Now, there was a pretty famous guy called Cristiano Ronaldo who played in that team, and that was the cult of the personality, as much as the great brands that are both Real Madrid and Man City. But that kicked us off. Then, you know, a couple of years later, we had Brazil and Argentina with a guy called Messi playing, where we had 97,000 at the Melbourne Cricket Ground. So, you know, we've been doing it for a few years now, and we started with football, but we've moved into, you know, rugby. We've been doing basketball since 2015. Boxing's a, you know, the National Hockey League, there's this thirst in our country because we are a sport mad, discerning market, to, and we, you know, we absorb US sport really, really well, and global sport. But, you know, we want to bring the NFL here, but the NFL have got, you know, a finite number of games. It's a massive, massive sport.
Sure.
So we brought out some US college football teams back in 2017, 2018. We brought out Cal Berkeley and Hawaii, and we brought out Stanford the year after, and did really good results. The National Hockey League, you know, Australians love contact sport. That is a major contact sport, ice hockey, and we sold out two nights at Rod Laver Arena last year, and we will bring them back again. So yeah, sport is really, really going well. We've got a, you know, I think we would, you know, I proudly can say that we're a world leader in at TG Sport with pre and post season sport. You know, we just, you know, so we just announced the other day Spurs playing Newcastle in May. We've already announced Arsenal, Liverpool, and Manchester United playing three games in the US in July, August. Two of those games are already sold out. So far ahead, one in Philadelphia and one in at the University of South Carolina. The third game of those guys is in LA, and that will ultimately sell out as well. We've announced, that the what I call America's team, Wrexham, who are a League Two team. Again, the cult of the personality with their owners, Ryan Reynolds, etc., is just a phenomenon. So they're playing Chelsea in San Jose. We're going to announce more games for them, one in Vancouver, one in Los Angeles. So it goes on and on and on. We announced overnight Manchester United playing Glasgow Rangers in Edinburgh in mid-July.
Wow.
So we're just doing so many things there and these opportunities. Boxing is an interesting one. Boxing's having a bit of a renaissance, and we've got a world title fight with our good friend George Kambosos in early May in Perth, and there's three world title fights on that bill. Kambosos is fighting the Ukrainian
Lomachenko. Yep.
Who is a dead set, one of the best pound-for-pound boxers in the world. So that will be something to behold. And there is two other bouts with one men's and one women's boxing world title fight featuring Aussies. So, there's so many different things in sport we're trying to do where, we've created a motorsport genre with our Freestyle Kings product where we partner in a great partnership with a guy called Josh Hannay. Josh formed this thing called Freestyle Kings, and it's going all around the country doing incredible numbers with these most gifted athletes that are the motocross riders who are just fearless. And if you want to do a sport where these guys take their life in their own hands, they are phenomenal athletes. We're bringing Hot Wheels monster trucks again, sport entertainment, but it is phenomenally successful. So we're to continue to grow that, we're to continue to grow sport globally, not just in Australia, because there is a real thirst for it.
Is there any particular avenue, whether it be sport or music, that you want to tap into more, and that whether that is as simple as getting a particular athlete or musician to the country, or whether it's a particular style of music or a particular sport in general you want to lean to, is there an untapped territory that you want to move into?
Yeah, we're always looking at new things and what we can do differently. We're looking at, do we aggregate some music artists to do something a bit different? So we've got a couple of things there that we're working on, which are probably can't say much more about. We're always, trying to be, what's the, in this country, country music is phenomenally growing off the back of the new country artists, the Zach Bryans of the world and Morgan Wallen, sort of just doing phenomenal numbers, and they are great artists, and they're getting, they're getting broader appeal than they, than country had ever got here. For a while there, you're a music guy, probably much more than me, but, hip hop urban was the flavor of the month. People are saying to me that it's off now. It's still big, but it's not the dominant, genre that it was, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So music will continue to evolve. I don't want to mention the TS word Taylor Swift, but I don't think any of us in any lifetime, and maybe our children's lifetime and their lifetime, will witness anything of the phenomenon that she was, and all power to her. And there are so many great artists coming through still. People thought for a while with the way with the advent of the music streaming services, Spotify's of the world, etc., that recorded music was dead and artists couldn't create a career. Well, there's some artists who are creating pretty good careers. And, Fred, again, you mentioned him earlier, what a phenomenon. Mm. This guy is just something else. He marketed the whole tour. We promoted it. He marketed through Instagram. He went to New Zealand and he just went on sale yesterday, flooded a pop-up in Wellington, 8,000 tickets sold in 30 minutes. He's going on sale, I think, as we speak, in Auckland to do a couple of shows there. He's maybe not finished in Australia. Who knows what he's going to do? But he is just groundbreaking. You know, I went to my board and said, listen, we're going to promote this guy, Fred, again. He is as hot as a pistol. Only problem is, you know, he's going to announce on a Thursday and the first concert's the following Monday. Typically now we'll announce an artist a year out. Well, a year for Fred's 3 days. You know, that's a luxury.
Yeah.
He even, you know, announced on, did a show last Saturday at the Domain, sold out show. Fred decides that, you know, I want to do it again. So 11 o'clock on Saturday morning, he goes, you know, this is how much he cares and has so much sympathy and authenticity with his fan base. He goes out to the people who were on a wait list and had missed out on tickets and goes, hey, listen, I'm going to do this again tonight. Do you guys want tickets? And he straight away sold thousands of tickets to those people. So, you know, that's just how a redefining in the data digital age, how you connect and how you do things. Now, you know, it's not for the faint-hearted if you're a promoter, but the proof is in the pudding with how well Fred's gone.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned earlier in the show, you know, that it really is, it, you know, as far as brand speaking, sorry, it really is important to take risks. And we mentioned at the top of the show about Matchbox that at the time you said, you know, Matchbox 20 and Goo Goo Dolls, two bands who really were in their prime in the 90s. There might be a trepidation about, can they still bring big tickets? And of course, that tour does what it does. When we're talking about these kind of risk and you know, freedom to fail in this age, how important is that to TEG? Because again, you guys have expanded so much outside of music into sport and all these things. You're trying different things and it all seems to be working. Is there a method to the madness or is it really, as you said, take the risk?
Yeah, they're good, really good question. There is a method to the madness. So on our integrated model, we start off every big tour and go, okay, get everyone together and go, and the promoter says, okay, we're doing Fred again. This is what Fred stands for. These are his brand values. This is the way we're going to approach it. These are the things we can do. These are the things we can't do. How are we going to work this? Same thing with a big, you know, our MD of TG Sport got everyone together across the business, you know, from the ticketing side, from the brand partnership side, from the hospitality side, you know, the digital people, the digital marketing people. This is how we're going to go to market around, you know, Spurs and Newcastle and Arsenal women and the All-Stars, et cetera. So there is a bit of method there. I'll be less than frank if I didn't say we don't get it right every time. So not, you know, but we're prepared to back artists, take risks, you know, back an artist. And that's why we've got into, you know, partnering with the Laneway Festival and Handsome Touring, because there is no better festival in this market to, you know, five cap cities in mainland Australia plus Auckland. It incubates for new talent. And, you know, Danny and Rogers and Jerome Barazio, who created that festival nearly 21 years ago, it is at all-time height. It's globally accepted for a must play for emerging artists. And, you know, from the festival, you know, surprise, surprise, you know, in February 2023, we had a guy called Fred again on there. When we signed him, he was Fred again. But by the time he came to do that tour, he was Fred again. And we nurture that relationship. We talk to his management and an agent, and we've had this tour, and hopefully there's many more tours to come from him because he is a unique talent. But there, you know, he's just one of many who, you know, take risks with artists. Can, you know, hopefully they can get, and you know, in the old days, you know, 10 years ago, you had to do a theatre or the Enmore before you went to the board. Before you went to Kudos Bank Arena, before you went to stadiums, you know, artists like Fred are capable, you know, of going, you know, as he's done from doing pop-ups all over the place at the Opera House, but then doing, you know, 30,000 and, you know, or more. If he, you know, he could do a lot more if he let us go into, you know, bigger venues, but he, you know, he's got his own view, which we respect greatly. So those old rules are being rewritten now by these artists because the pervasiveness of social media and,
yeah,
the way they connect just means that, you know, they make it, you know, there's a different rule set now.
Yeah. Well, I know you're a very busy man, but before you go, I do have to ask, it is the very cliche promoter question. Given the incredible amount of names you've worked with and the status of those names too, are there any particular memorable moments for you as a promoter? You know, do you have Eminem's personal phone number on your phone? What's the craziest thing for you that you've said, how am I doing this?
Yeah, no, it's funny with artists. I get asked this a lot, and we're in a privileged position where we promote, I'll respectfully go and at the start of a tour to the artist and say, thank you for coming. We're proud to be promoting you. Our team will look after you the best they can. I love an artist like Keith Urban. We've toured Keith 5 times. He is the most authentic person imaginable. He gives so much to his audience. He is so reliable. We're planning Keith's next tour as I speak. I love Australia's own, the Hilltop Hoods. The way their manager, Dylan Liddy, and those guys have curated their career to be so relevant to the Triple J audience and to their audience that have been with them along the whole journey being so careful about what they've done and, the energy of their performance. I love that. One of the highlights for me, you talk about Eminem, was it was 2018. Eminem played in front of 87,000 people at the MCG, and it was just an electric concert because, he was, he is just so good. And then there's a funny thing, like Snoop Dogg. You go there and you go, just watch Snoop in his cool, unique way, work the crowd. So there's just so many memorable things. Hard to name one of them. But I just love going to, I was fascinated by Fred again. I'm not an EDM lover, but I was fascinated by how this guy grabs his audience, takes them on the journey. He just doesn't stick in a memory stick and doof doof away. He works it, and he plays the piano. The keyboards. He drums. He sings. He's just phenomenal. And he brings other artists in there and shares his stage. So no, I consider it a privilege to work in the industry and do what we do.
We've heard that Eminem is releasing an album this year. Are there any early plans for a tour, Jeff? Can we get an exclusive there?
We're trying really hard. Paul Dainty has got a phenomenal relationship with Eminem, and we're really confident when he's ready to tour again, which hopefully is sooner rather than later, that he'll tour. And I think it would be even bigger because his star continues to rise.
Of course. Well, before you go, Jeff, is there a particular message you'd like to share with the media and marketing industry, whether it be a call out, whether it be something that you'd like to share some advice on? Is there anything you'd like to leave the episode on?
I just think that I don't think I need to preach to this industry that they know how pervasive the live experience across all genres is, and in a day where media is so dismediated by every and disrupted by a whole lot of things, the live space is really reliable and will continue to be reliable in a great way, where you can do a multitude of things with your brand spend across live space. So I'd encourage them to get involved with it.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you are a very busy man, and I appreciate you sitting down with me for this episode. It sounds like TEG has a lot in the works, so good luck with it. I hope it's not too stressful, and I hope we can chat again very soon.
Really appreciate it, Neil. Thank you, bud. Take care.
That's our episode. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the 1-on-1 series. Big thanks to the team at TEG and Jeff for coming on this week's show. Again, if you'd like to hear previous episodes, be sure to check out mumbrella.com.au and check out the website for everything happening in the media and marketing industry. Before I go, we are 6 weeks away from Mumbrella 360 2024. To get your tickets, head to mumbrella.com.au/mumbrella360. That's it from me. We'll talk again on the Mumbrella Cast next Wednesday.
Podcast edit by Abe's Audio.